Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking the majestic Buckhead skyline, where the days are getting shorter, much shorter. Daylight savings time having, being over now, and colder. And obviously it's football weather, but there's another contest that's even more important, and that is the Senate, which is going to be up for grabs tomorrow. Now, we have talked about this and talked about it and talked about it, and now it's finally here, and we are just so excited that it is. And there are some things that we're going to make final predictions today. Richard, I see that you're on the line. How are you today?
Well, I have positive anticipation.
So do I. You know, I'm going to get, if you want to call in, the number is 347-326-9949. More often than not, I don't even give the number out because we have so much to talk about. But I do think that there, you know, if there are some people that are concerned about some things and all, I think we'll, that we could talk about it. Now,
where are you, Coach?
We're going to make final predictions today. And the Senate, I mean, the nice thing about the Senate is that there are 100 of them. And 100 is an easy thing to do math with on the radio. It's, you know, if you've got a television or a computer that people are looking at, then, you know, you can do the math. But when you're talking, you've got to explain it much more thoroughly. And since there are 100, you know, rather than 221 or something like that, it makes it much easier. So, the Democrats right now have 55% of the Senate and the Republicans 45%. Or there are 55 Democrats and 44 Republicans. Now, there are a couple of independents who caucus with the Democrats, but that just means that they're Democrats. So, in order for the Republicans to take the majority, they need 6 votes. If it's 50-50, then the president of the Senate breaks the tie, and the president of the Senate, constitutionally, is the vice president of the United States, Joe Biden. So he obviously would vote for the, you know, for Barack Obama and Harry Reid because he's a Democrat. And should. I have no problem with that. That's his role, and that's what he should do. But what we want to know is, are there enough changes so that there are 51% Republicans and only 49% Republicans, or are the Republicans going to do better than that? And if so, by how many? And we're going to make this prediction today. All right. Now, there are some things that are just already a given, and we're going to just, for example, Montana, South Dakota, and West Virginia all have retiring Democrats, and they're all going to go Republican. So that's 3 of the 6 right there. People are uniformly predicting that Arkansas, where Obama's approval rating is like 25%, is going to go Republican. So that's 4. That means they need to pick up 2 more, while at the same time holding on to some of the seats that they have, including Kentucky, where that real pretty Democrat, Allison Lundigan Grimes, has just been hounding away at Mitch McConnell, who's not much of a leader, but he's going to win, and I'm glad he is. Georgia, We have an outstanding candidate in David Perdue running against Michelle Nunn, who is every bit as liberal as Barack Obama, and that's going to remain constant, too. The other one, so far right now, we have it to where the Democrats are 51 and the Republicans 49 in our analysis. Kansas may well go to this Orman guy who is a – he calls himself an independent, but he's – you know, he's – he'll caucus with the Democrats, so it doesn't make any difference. He's trying to be a little slimy and sleazy against a decent guy who's been there forever and who's 78 years old. So we'll see what happens there. Let's just say that Orman wins. So that puts the Republicans back to 48, so they need three more. Where would those seats come from? Well, Louisiana is one of them. Iowa is one of them. Iowa for sure is one of them. Colorado is one. Alaska is one. So that's four more. So that there's the 51-49 right there. Plus, I'm predicting Scott Brown is going to win in New Hampshire. The New England College poll has him up by 1%. He's a much better candidate than Gene Shanin, who's really done a pitiful job. And he's sharp, smart, and we like him. And that's there's where we go. Now, I think that it's even possible that North Carolina will go Republican too. But this is going to be a big, big, big day. Did I say Alaska? Alaska too. Here's the final thing. I believe it's going to be 53 or 54 Republicans and 47 or 46 for the Democrats. So this is going to be a tidal wave. Harry Reid is going to have his disgraceful presence removed and his odious personality dismissed. He won't be in charge anymore. And that is what I'm thinking is going to happen. What about you, Richard? I kind of have just really gone off on this because once you start on it, you pretty much, you know, to kind of keep the math, have to do it. But so I didn't let you say anything. Go ahead now. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking definitely that the Republicans are going to have the majority in the Senate. One of the things that tends to worry me, though, is that this is November 4th, or let's say November 5th is when all the dust settled and we know who's who. That Congress doesn't get sworn in until January 6th.
I think it's the 19th.
Well, fine, sometime in January, but you've got the better part of November, all of December, and a good part of January where these sleazeballs will try and do whatever they can to push stuff through before they're gone. And that bothers me.
I agree. I think that this is one of the – this is going to be the most – this is going to be a Christmas season that is filled with duplicity, corruption, fraud, and the outright raping of the American public for just the reason that you have given. Now, there is one thing that I'm going to say. These guys who lose in the election let's just take Mark Pryor, for example. He's he's voted with Obama over 90% of the time. But he's not a bad guy. I mean, he's not a criminal. And he's got to go back and live in Arkansas. I don't think I would want to abuse the people that had sent me. But then again, I've got some character. Who knows? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about this. But here's the other thing.
Washington. Does he have a house in Washington? He must. He's been there 6 years.
I'm sure. Huh? That's kind of like Michelle Nunn. You know, her dad became a senator, during the Watergate scandal. And, so they essentially moved to Washington. She's lived up there in Maryland really her entire life. She is not really a Georgia citizen. She won't admit that she voted for Obama in 2008, 2012. And yet nobody's asked her, said, well, where did you vote? Did you vote in Maryland or did you vote in Georgia?
Right.
And the truth of the matter is that she voted in Maryland and she isn't a citizen. Now, we're holding that against her, but we're not holding against Scott Brown, who's really, from Massachusetts running in New Hampshire. So, I guess that it cuts both ways. And so she's done this and, I don't really care for it, but at the same time, it happens. Hillary Clinton, went to New York and did it. And sort of Bobby Kennedy. It happens sometimes, All right, now, what is your prediction? I'm going with 53-47 and maybe 54, and it could be even 55.
I think 53 is in the bag, and the way I look at it, the more the merrier. The higher it is, the better off it's going to be.
Now, the reason for this, that it's so important, is that having a unified Senate, they're going to be able to pass legislation and put it on the president's desk. If he vetoes it, then that's one thing, but that's going to put the pressure on him, and it's going to make it very hard for whoever is running as the Democrat in 2016. But Congress united is one third of the government. The president's one third, and the Supreme Court's the third. Right now, one half of one third, or one sixth of the government, is in opposition to Obama, and that's it. So, it's swimming upstream every day. Now, I want to talk about something else that really concerns this. All right, now you saw that Camerisi just got released 2 days ago, and that Obama, this is Sergeant Camerisi, who wandered into Mexico and got arrested and spent 7 months in jail needlessly, and people beseeched President Obama, make a telephone call. That's all you need to do, and we'll get our Marine back. Now, Obama didn't do that, did he?
He did nothing.
And there's a reason why. But you have to understand his twisted, narcissistic thinking in order to understand it. And this is my hypothesis. Obama, surprised everybody when he gave up the Taliban Five for Bergdahl, and he thought he would be championed throughout the land for getting back, this essentially what he was calling a prisoner of war. When people realized that Obama had swapped five mass murderers for a deserter, they went nuts. You remember how badly Obama was criticized. I mean, poll numbers just sank. That was the end him doing that was the end of any goodwill in his second term. And everybody, you know, he has never even been close to even. There's way more negatives. I mean, you know, the Real Clear Politics has him at 54%, you know, don't like the job he's doing, and 41% do like the job he's doing. That's a big gap. Frankly, I don't know how you can have 41%. I think it should be 22. You know, but, you know, that's just you and me. All right. So, our punishment was that he would do nothing for Camerisi because we did not appreciate what he did for Bergdahl. That's the way a narcissist links things. That is why he did that. Now, if that seems a little bit like it's a stretch, let me give you another example. You remember when the Republicans wouldn't give Obama the money that he wanted through sequestration 2 years ago, and what did Obama do? He shut down the World War II memorial, had it guarded, put up, you know, put fences around it and everything so that these old men in wheelchairs couldn't see the memorial before they died. That was our punishment for not giving him what he wanted. When you don't give a narcissist his way, there's always a price to be paid. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
And you know, we know it because we've seen it in our own family. But here's the thing. When Obama, everybody was calling it a gaffe last week when he said, make no mistake about it, my policies, I'm not on the ballot. Michelle's pretty happy about that. But my policies are every one of them. Now, the Democrats are, what in the world are you saying? You know, don't tell people that, I mean, even though it's true, because that's going to hurt their chances. Now, that's one way to look at it, but you've got to look at it through the mind of a narcissist. Obama, when he said that, it was no gas. It was a warning. My policies are on the ballot. Elect a Democratic Senate, and we'll be okay. If you don't, there is going to be hell to pay. Camerisi sat in that jail for 7 months, and Obama could have cared less. If they'd starved him, he wouldn't have done anything. If they executed him, Obama wouldn't do anything because he was punishing the American people because of Bergdahl. Those old men in their wheelchairs, he could care less if they, all of them, you know, trying to stand up to see over, you know, to see over the blockade, you know, fell and died. They deserved it. The American people deserved it because they didn't give Obama what they wanted. Now, those are fairly small things. If Obama loses the Senate, which he will, you wait and see what he does to punish the American people. Now, I wouldn't. One of the things, you remember that last week that they were talking about? Bringing people infected with Ebola that weren't Americans into this country to cure them. I don't trust him. I think he would do that to create plague and contagion upon the American people. bring disease and destroy us, or destroy millions, because we didn't do what he wanted. Now, I'm going to make a comparison that people are going to really be offended with, but I don't care. In World War II, when in Stalingrad, when the Germans lost and their army was captured, and the Red Army started, coming, from Moscow and from, Leningrad and Stalingrad, and pushing back the Wehrmacht. In his mind, Hitler knew that the war was lost, and he sacrificed divisions, threw them into battles and into situations, knowing that they would lose, as their just punishment for letting him down. This is how dangerous a narcissist is, which obviously Hitler was. Now, there are degrees of narcissism. I think, it would take somebody who's real professional to know that. I do know this. I've given you two examples of Obama's narcissism and his non-gaffe, which was a warning telling us there would be hell to pay. I don't know what that hell to pay will be, because they're going to lose the Senate, and he is going to take it as a personal affront to his ego, which is massive, and he feels wounded about it. That's what's going to happen. Now, what do you think about that? I haven't told you about this yet, so this is, you're getting this fresh. What do you think?
Well, it does make a lot of sense. I don't think he has the power, though, to let Ebola people from the other countries come here. I just don't think that would end up happening. I think
someone let that leak. Someone in the State Department, thank God. Yeah, someone who has brains. And, once it got out and got in the news, and, I don't care how liberal the press is, they know what Ebola will do. And they don't, they've got families too. And, the whole thing of inviting Ebola into the country is crazy. That was at least one potential thing that I thought about. Because you link these things. Tamarisi is linked to Bird Dahl. The Vietnam Memorial shut down and all of the parks shut down. People couldn't go to, to Yosemite and stuff like that. Was linked to the Republicans not giving Obama the money he wanted when he wanted it. If we think about it, there are 100 more. But those two are solid links. The whole thing about the Senate, and these are my policies, make no mistake about it, and everybody thought he was a fool. I think he was absolutely positively just warning the American people of what he would do. And, and in his mind, you repudiate me, you deserve what you get. That's how he feels about it. It's not a political thing. It's personal. You either agree with what he says, or you're an enemy, period.
Suffer.
And you deserve what you get. There will be something significant and very destructive to the American people. You can count on it. this is who this evil man is. Kind of scary, isn't it? At the same time, we got to stand up and be counted and vote for the people who are going to stand up against Obama. Now, this election is not about a alternative platform for the Republicans. This election is about all of the anger that people feel towards Barack Obama. Votes are not pro this, that, or the other. They are anti-Obama. And he sees it this way. Make no mistake about it. My policies are on the ballot, every one of them. I don't believe that there's any other talk show group that's talking about anything like this in America. On this kind of stuff, I think we're unique. But, you know, we also don't have sponsors, you know, General Mills or something like that that says, oh, we don't want you to get that. We just say what we believe. And we speculate some. But I mean to tell you, the repudiation of Barack Obama is going to be known to the American people in a day and a half. And he is going to wince, and he is going to be pissed. And I mean to tell you, if you offend a narcissist, you got to watch out, because they can be very, very destructive. Another possibility would, because the people that are against him are very pro-Israel, he could do something, you know, and this may be what the Iranian thing is. Sign some kind of treaty allowing them to have nuclear weapons. Even though the Iranians have said, if they get them, they're going to go after Israel first and then after us. Publicly, repeatedly. This isn't some secret memo that somebody got and pulled out, you know, like an episode of Homeland. This is their stated position. This would be something he could do. If the American people are going to repudiate me, let's let the Iranians, you know, bomb Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. Do I think capable of that? I do. And it's not, it's because I know what a narcissist is like. I've seen them in operation, and I've seen what is rational to them is irrational to a normal person. Pretty scary stuff. Here's the deal. We've got one more day. And kind of like in that, you know, Les Miserables, one day more, what our God in heaven has in store. One more day, one day more. That's all the time we have, Richard. The Patriots won yesterday, so you and I are happy boys, even though the Dogs lost on Saturday. So we'll just say, and by the way, they look fabulous. They look like Super Bowl contenders. So let me just say thank you. God bless you. And, you know, God bless the United States of America. The next time we talk, we're going to be talking about what's happened rather than what will happen. Night, buddy.